Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wow.
My little angels.
Sing.
Do damn, I wish I was your lover.
I'm away.
Doug from the 573 Brooklyn lead indeed retired.
What about Joshua? Is he retired?
Can you imagine him performing in advance of Timberfake Ryan Kelly, February 4th, 2017?
Well, why not? Why not bring him out of retirement? He's been in dry dock too long.
Does this song remind you of Josh Tomlin? Every time I hear it, I think of Josh Tomlin.
Ryan Kelly will be in the squared circle in 3 months, and ladies and gentlemen, he joins us right now.
3 months. Get pretty nervous about that.
I bet you are. You working out a lot, Ryan? Getting ready for
can't
the fracas?
Stop, man. Just can't stop.
Yeah.
Did you hold?
You know, I'll be honest with you. Just doing my regular stuff. Nothing crazy. I'm too busy with work, family. I mean, it's always something, right? Halloween, then you got the kids, costume parties, trick-or-treats, all that.
And yeah.
Before you know, it'll be Thanksgiving. I'll be eating double helpings, triple helpings at my grandma's, right?
Did you hold up a sign that said, "Really, Joe"?
Oh, did he really pick Timberfake after Timberfake stalked him for 4 hours outside of a hotel in Chicago to win the fight? I mean, I did hold up a sign. I did. It was good, man? I was at Wrigley Field, man. What an experience. The haters are going to hate. I don't care about that part. I mean, everybody knows I'm a huge Cardinals fan. Even in Chicago, I get teased about being a Cardinals fan more than you guys can even comprehend. I mean, there's some people here that go, he advertises on the Cubs. Yeah, I get it. I do. But in Chicago, they really, really let me have it. But when your rep from ESPN calls and goes, hey, you want to come up to Chicago and sit behind home plate on us? A couple of rounds of beers? You better believe I'll go. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
How was that experience?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, Cardinal fan, Cubs fan, whatever fan, to be able to go to the first game at Wrigley Field, you know, in umpteen years since the 40s. I mean, that place was on fire. I've been to Mardi Gras, I've been to a Super Bowl. It's right up there with it.
Yeah, there's nothing like seeing a game there, of course, when you're unable to be at a game here in St. Louis.
Yeah, I get that. Well, guys, let's leave it there. We're busy. I know you know, and I know. There's election from today, a week from today, sorry. And it's crazy. We have people calling in the drones. Hey, delaying. I've been turned down before. I haven't refinanced. I know I need to. I still have a rate in the fours, whatever. Calling like crazy. We're trying to get everybody locked in. Talk to you soon. I'm Ryan Kelly. I'm the Home Loan Expert. Apply online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Company's the Home Loan Expert LLC. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Ryan. There he is, our title sponsor. Ryan Kelly coming up at 8:30. Derek Gould with us on the program. Your emails giving away tickets to the wonderful film Ice Guardians, which is going to be next week at the Pageant, and it starts at 7 p.m. Special guests Kelly Chase and Brett Hull. That is next week at the Pageant. And that's the prize for our email today. Send in your emails the morning after at insidestl.com. Doug, who are you pulling for tonight? Indians or Cubs?
I kind of want to see a seventh game, so yeah. I'll pull for the Cubs tonight, and then I'm not really sure what I'll do tomorrow night.
I'm pulling for the Indians. I don't know. I guess it got a hold of me. First of all, they're the underdogs, I think, exceeding expectations. They have been the underdogs. Really good pitching. I'm an Indians guy now. I feel like part of me is a Clevelander.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. Most of St. Louis is Indian fans right now. I went to the Blues game last week, and the game was on TV there, and a bunch of people standing around, and they were all cheering hard for Cleveland. Small sample size, of course, but most people I talked to are really hoping the Cubs lose.
Let me ask you this.
Just ask.
We know, and those of us who went to the University of Missouri know it a little bit better, but we know that there's a thing with Kansas City towards St. Louis, but there really isn't, at least comparatively speaking, the same thing from St. Louis toward Kansas City. And so as I've observed this week, and I too am kind of pulling against the Cubs. If the Cubs were to win the World Series, it really wouldn't bother me. But I also understand that for some people, it really would bother them. And as always, to each their own. But is this similar to that kind of nuisance hate from Kansas City? And I was kind of going back and forth on that with myself. And I thought, not really, because the Cardinals and Cubs, like the Yankees and Red Sox and Giants and Dodgers, have been a rivalry for a long time. Unlike those, although there was a period there where the Red Sox were just hideous. I guess the Red Sox were pretty competitive in each decade, but they just couldn't get a World Series. At least it seems that way. I don't know if they did anything in the 50s, but they were in a World Series in the 60s and in the 70s, and then, of course, the Buckner 86. But the Cardinals and Cubs, the Cubs just haven't done anything, and they really weren't even competitive for most of the time over the last 60 years or so. So that, to me, is the difference, but I don't know what it's like in Chicago for Cubs fans if they view Cardinals-Cubs as big of a rivalry as some St. Louis.
They do. I mean, I've been there quite a bit. They do look at the Cards as their main rival, but I think it's different than the Kansas City thing because Kansas City, in a way, has an inferiority complex. I mean, it goes to, well, we got better pizza. You know, they
and
they
I've
like
never
to
felt
start-
like there's a state, like, I don't think anybody's debating anywhere that Chicago's a better city than St. Louis. Like, that, I think, even if you asked
that
St.
Ship
Louis,
has sailed.
It's, yeah, that ship sailed about 110 years ago, as a matter of fact, railroad issues. So that kind of, that was that. But the Kansas City St. Louis thing is kind of going back and forth on what's a better city. And this has been going on for a couple of decades, and I don't really know what it's all about. I just know I experienced it, and I was really weirded out by it, and I think it's gotten worse over the last few years. But nonetheless, I think the Cardinals-Cubs thing is more baseball-centric. I'm just curious if Chicagoans are sitting there looking at this going, God, what is the deal with all the hate towards the Cubs this week? I don't know if there's a bunch of hate, comparatively speaking, when the Cardinals are in the World Series from Cubs fans. I don't know. I'm asking.
I think Cubs fans look at the Cardinals as it's a friendly rivalry. I don't think there's a lot of hate. And it has nothing to do with comparing the cities like the Kansas City, St. Louis thing, in my opinion. And I think a lot of Cardinal fans are like me. They're not predisposed to root against the Cubs. They just look at this Indians bunch and say, boy, I admire that plucky spirit.
I don't know that they say plucky spirit.
I think a lot of people do.
It seems like there might be some national sentiment against the Cardinals just because they're there so often.
I agree with that.
You kind of pick that up online a little bit.
I agree with that. And I also think that they're, of course, it's like a wing of the party, but then therefore the whole party gets painted as such with the BFib stuff, you know. But that, of course, is not representative of all Cardinal fans, but it doesn't matter. It's exacerbated since through social media. And I understand it. It is hideous, but it is a wing of the fan base with the, you know,
wave starters,
self-appointed best fans in baseball type crap.
We give standing ovations to the ground ball to the right side and move the runner to third.
And then like getting mad if another city is ranked ahead of Cardinal fans as having the better fans. I long for a day where the city's claim to fame is not having the best baseball fans. I hope the tech boom gets us over that hump.
I'll tell you what, though, in fairness, no fan base is better able to identify a good baseball play in Major League Baseball than the fans right here in St. Louis. Thank you, Tim.
For me, I root against anything Kansas City because of my time in a fraternity at Mizzou. I root against their fans. I root against the Cubs, their team, just because I was raised a Cardinals fan and conditioned to view them as a rival. I think that's supposed to say was conditioned. Autocorrect. It's baseball centric. That's from Randy Molman. You know him from the Mole Hole.
Sure.
That might
PA
make sense.
PA announcer for the Missouri Tigers.
That might make sense.
And I think too, if you're in a rivalry with another fan base like the Cubs Cardinals, and one team has a rich history, the other team hasn't been there in forever. If you're rooting for the Cardinals, you're probably going to pull against the other fan base to suddenly get to where you guys had hoped your team would be. I get that.
I just don't have any hatred at all towards other teams like the Cubs. When the Cardinals aren't in it, I don't feel like, gosh, I hope the Cubs lose. I just don't feel that at all.
But I don't even think, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think Cardinal fans really hate the Cubs. I think it's sort of a hobby to root against them. I don't think it's any, it's a lot of mean-spiritedness. Maybe I'm wrong.
Experiencing both, and again, it's kind of unfair, but if anything, I guess it's somewhat apples to apples because we're not in the heart of it. At least I don't feel like we're in the heart of it. I feel like the Cardinals-Cubs thing is more intense in Southern Illinois and Central Illinois than it is in St. Louis. Plowhawk is nodding as a, what would you call yourself, a Central Illinois resident? Casey.
They call it the heart of Illinois. And I was just going
to... You like that, heart of Illinois?
Yeah, I think that's nice.
I was just going to add it. I think that the dislike and hatred, it also has to do with the surroundings and or were you surrounded by obnoxious Cubs fans, which I was.
But I'm sure the Cubs fans would say the Cardinals fans are obnoxious. Yeah. So it cuts both ways. And then drawing apples to apples, we're not in the heart of the Kansas-Missouri thing. So both Doug and I think are on the same page. With, I don't have a hatred towards Kansas, but a lot of my Missouri compadres who lived and grew up in Kansas City do, as I'm certain it cuts the other way, with Kansas fans hating Missouri fans who grew up around there. And then I don't have a hatred towards the Cubs either. I want to see the Indians win, but as I'm saying, it was just stepping back going, okay, is this some kind, is this, am I now doing what I mock Kansas City for doing? But the whole thing with the Kansas City thing is, there is no rivalry. Like, there's no history between the two cities as far as year in, year out. I mean, for 1985, most of the people who bring that up, I think, are people who weren't even alive when it happened or wouldn't even remember it. Because I would imagine if you're still in your 40s or 50s and arguing with other people over Twitter over, you know, a baseball game, you know, something's probably off the mark. So I think it's more of a, you know, 20-somethings, 30-somethings social media game. But I think it's rooted in the fact that Cardinals and Cubs actually are a rivalry. That's what it's about. I don't think it's St. Louis is not as good of a city as Chicago. I don't think it has. I just don't even think that's even
who would say
on
that?
The map. It's like Sacramento versus LA or Sacramento versus San Francisco. It's like, okay, yeah, San Francisco.
It's a different thing. It's a different
world-class city.
Chicago makes St. Louis look like a little village, but I have no interest at all. I'd much rather live in St. Louis than Chicago. I have no interest at all in living in Chicago. Dealing with that weather, dealing with that traffic, dealing with how expensive it is, great place to visit. I would not want to live there at all.
Doug, we have a job where we'll pay you $400,000 a year, but you have to move to Chicago.
Well, I can get back to data.
Kansas City people were happy when we lost our NFL team. Chicago fans couldn't have cared less. It seems to run deep with Kansas City people. I don't know that. I sense that, but I don't know if that's necessarily fair because I can't back that up with any data. That's from
they don't like St. Louis. I've been there. I mean,
no,
St. Louis sucks, and the people in St. Louis suck.
Is that the guy who called me Ravioli Head?
I think that was
shut
in
up,
LA.
Ravioli
there
Head.
There he is.
That was in L.A. I think the big difference is that while I root passionately against the Cubs, I love the city of Chicago, and it's not a larger competition in my mind. With Kansas City, I think it gets down to KC folks having an inferiority complex.
Is part of it, too, you have a Cleveland team, honestly, that's total underdogs. They don't really have superstars.
I'd be pulling for anybody against the Cubs. But again, it isn't like it would wreck my day. Like, if I saw an edge in live betting, I would bet on the Cubs. Because it's not like I'm like, I can't. Like, whereas if I see an edge live betting the Rams, I can't bet on the Rams right now. But so, in other words, my emotion is much deeper on the Rammies than the Cubs.
But doesn't it feel like the world is kind of rooting for the Cubs? I mean, it's a great storyline. They, you know, they haven't been able to do it in forever.
I think some people are probably rooting. This is a good article here. Seamaster sent this over. Fox executives are rooting for the Indians to beat the Cubs in the World Series. Do you follow this logic? I can expound.
So maybe they can do it again next
absolutely,
year.
Absolutely, because it has absolutely been wonderful for the ratings. This is from a television executive who asked not to be identified due to his relationship with multiple networks. Quote, if you're talking about it from a storyline standpoint, it would be better if the Cubs lost this time around because everybody believes they'll have another crack at it. They won't say it out loud, but everybody involved would probably like to see Cleveland win in 7 games. Colin Coward, who hosts both The Herd and Speak for Yourself on FS1, believes both the network and Major League Baseball would benefit greatly from a Cubs loss in the World Series. Quote, I'm speaking not on behalf of my management, but we all know how movies are made, conflict and resolution to conflict. I compare it to a sitcom where two people flirt, and then the moment they get together, it's like, okay, now what? There's something to be said about the Cubs getting to Game 7 and losing. Baseball's never done a great job of creating stories. The NBA gives you one every year. The NFL gives you one every week. This is arguably the last great, big, broad, embraceable baseball story. We had the Red Sox. They couldn't get past the Yankees, and then they did. How many stories in baseball do we have that my sister, who doesn't watch sports, totally understands? Doug, how many stories does Colin Cowherd's sister...
I don't know his sister. I don't know how tuned in she is. I think the point they're trying to make is everybody knows the Cubs haven't won in 100 years. But I don't know this sister. Never met her. Maybe she's not much of a fan. I don't know that gal.
Mario in Chicago, speaking from Chicago, says it's not the same as the Kansas City thing, but I will say the amount of Schadenfreude going against the Cubs is more than I saw when we made our runs in the past. I think it's because we've had a rough go as St. Louis fans as of late. Give me an example.
Well, we lost our football team. The college football team is horrendous. Illinois' football team is horrendous. The Blues haven't won since they came into the league in 67. We lost our basketball franchise. 68.
Yeah, aside from that, though.
Well, I can't think of anything next to that. I can't think of a darn thing.
We're going to get soccer at some point.
Yeah. We'll get that 4 or 5 years, maybe.
I think there's a bigger hate between the Blues and Blackhawks because we're kind of like the Cubs and haven't been there in 50 years. That's from the 314.
Also, Blackhawk fans... come to St. Louis, get drunk, and start trouble. Yeah,
there are fights involved in the Blues and Blackhawks on the ice and in the stands. Blackhawk fans are especially obnoxious.
The B-fibs are terrible, but at least Cardinals fans have never threatened a man where that man had to go into hiding over a baseball game. That's from Bubbles.
Well, that's never happened. You wonder how that would play out if some fan reached over and took a foul ball away from Matt Carpenter that might have determined a outcome of an NLCS game. But I don't think that we'd be as ornery as Cub fans have been towards Bartman.
I agree with you, Tim. That's from the 618.
Of course.
I just saw that.
You know what? That's all they said.
Give him the text of the day. Give him the text of the day.
I'm going to give him the text of the day. It's a free turkey sandwich from Lions.
I'm suspended, Amy. 618 has been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is appearing.
I don't even know what he's agreeing with.
Llewellyn's Pub suspension log, just for over-laminating. Whatever you said, Tim, I agree with you.
I think the B-fib thing runs beyond the Cardinals. I was at the Blues-Red Wings game, and 20,000 people gave Steve Ott a standing ovation. The Daniel Descalzo of hockey.
We do like our former players, that's for sure.
Tim, at Mizzou now, Chicago versus St. Louis is bigger than Kansas City versus St. Louis. More Chicago kids came to Mizzou because of... cheaper tuition in the past few years, and Blues versus Blackhawks seems to be the current trend on campus the past few years. That's from Old Jay in Como.
Yeah,
I actually observed that because I happened to be down there for game two of the Blues and Blackhawks here in St. Louis. I was down in Columbia watching that, and I remember seeing all the Blackhawks jerseys. I think we talked about it on the show. And I thought, God, is this Kansas City fans now just adopting a hockey team just because they're playing? And it was actually, that's when we found out, a lot of Chicagoland students have come to the University of Missouri recently. That was not going on, you know, when I left Columbia 17 years ago.
No.
So that's a newer phenomenon.
Well, they say Mizzou can't be cheaper than Illinois, though, if you live in Chicago. Somehow Mizzou kind of became a trendy school for Chicago area. I don't know if it had to
Missouri.
Do with...
Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh?
That's what it was.
What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
Yeah, but that wouldn't make sense. He said that after the Chicago kids started going to Missouri.
Do you have the Joe Paterno one? Can I hear that?
No, the lady falls out of the upper deck.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back?
You can hear her falling. You can hear her falling.
How about that whole deal?
And he's not polling real well in Pennsylvania.
I gather what goes on.
Bring that back.
He's just traveling around the country, doesn't know what to say as he walks out. Somebody hands him an index card and says, "Here, before you go into the talking points, this is where you are. This is a good play." And Missouri, they're really high on their football team.
See, I disagree. I think they tell him all the things to avoid. They sit down, they go, "Mr. Trump, here's what you probably want to talk about. Avoid the."
Doing the opposite.
Gonna wing it.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great.
I love that.
I do too.
I just feel so bad for the woman who fell out of the upper deck hearing that.
Yeah, we're running like Faces She's of Death audio.
Screaming. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back? How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back? How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back?
She literally threw herself off the balcony. You see, the whistleblower just got a few million dollars from court.
Missouri. Missouri. Missouri.
Bring up anything other than the college football situation if you could. We're not happy with that. Missouri State isn't any good. Mizzou's struggling. SEMO, not much. Northwest usually does pretty well in Division II. WashU holds its own in Division III. Maybe that's what he was talking about. He was talking about WashU and Northwest Missouri State.
Greg, meet Prince Johnson, the Black Python.
Lousy.
Nice to meet you.
How you doing?
Come here. Right.
Doug, that's your favorite drop.
What'd that have to do with it, Lousy?
Lousy loves it, though.
Well, you said you wanted to get off the college football talk, but I think you were talking to Trump and first person, I thought you were talking to me, so I wanted to mix it up with a Ray Donovan clip get it off the Trump topic.
All right,
fine. Good question here for you, the Cat. Is the Cat's hatred of the Red Sox enough to make him root for the Cubs should they ever play in a World Series?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's beyond my control. You know,
I understand.
When you're raised a certain way, it's in you. So I despise
if the Cubs Red Sox. Were better and more relevant, and really the only year where it was kind of a life or death, and by life or death, I mean baseball life or death, if one didn't get in, or if one didn't win the division, they wouldn't get into the playoffs, because in 2015 they were both going to get in. In my lifetime that I can recall, I guess 89 was kind of a random one, Doug. I don't know if you remember that one. The Cubs wound up winning the division, but the Cardinals were right there with them all the way until September. Pedro Guerrero hit a home run off Mitch Williams into the netting in right, was it right center, I think? September 89?
I don't remember the
September 7th, 89, I think.
But I don't remember the date.
But they got into it within a half game, and then Tom Bernanski mishandled the Jerome Walton base hit in right field, and the Cubs pulled away. But other than that, it was really 0-3, and the Cubs took 4 of 5 in a series and then pulled away. But you remember Dusty Baker and Tony La Russa screaming at each other. My point in all of this is that the two teams, for really the last 40 years, haven't been engaged in what the Yankees and Red Sox were engaged in from like 99 through 2004, which was every year they were fighting over the American League East, and it was a year-round thing, kind of a war damn eagle, roll damn tide, because they would do battle over free agents and trades in the offseason, and then it would culminate in October. So that hasn't been going on with the Cardinals and Cubs. I don't know if it will. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be at that level, you know, at least in the next year or two. I hope they are, of course, but I just don't know that they will be. Whereas I think most people agree that the Cubs are probably going to be around, health, of course, always being the asterisk in any talk of predicting. Whereas for some, they view, well, this is probably the Indians' only shot. I look at the Indians like, how in the hell are they doing this?
That's why I think it's a compelling story. You look at the two rosters, it's like they don't belong on the same field, yet the Indians have the upper end. They just got to win. You know, Plowsy said it yesterday, and I think it bears repeating, Tim. This World Series will end in Cleveland.
No.
What?
And I would go so far as to say it'll end either tonight or tomorrow night, weather permitting.
Nice.
And the Indians is just another lesson that it's mostly about your pitching. They've had historically good postseason pitching. Historically good.
And it was the one thing going in, and you go, well, the Indians don't have any starting pitching. All their pitching got hurt. Imagine if they had the guys that they were supposed to have.
Yeah. Carrasco and Salazar.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Cubs, it looks like they're set up for a while.
Yeah.
It really does.
The only thing you can see with the Cubs is Lester and Arrieta are starting to get a little old. You know, it wouldn't stun me if one or two of those guys broke down. Hamill's just kind of a guy. Hendrick has never been as good as he was this year. He may regress a little bit. Lester is pushing 40. So there's a chance that their starting pitching has to be redone here in a year or two.
Yeah, that's true. Boy, I tell you, though, having Chapman at the end of games, and then the way they're using him now, where he's pitching a lot. I mean, that's an unbelievable weapon.
Lester's 32, by the way.
Yeah.
And Arrieta's not that old either.
He's right in there, I think. 30, 31.
Yeah, that means you have...
They're about due for Tommy John, aren't they?
Arrieta's 30.
Yeah, well, that's the only hope. Because the position players are certainly young. That's the best infield in baseball, obviously. If the pitching should
Hendricks
somehow
is 26.
Break down.
And yeah, Hendricks had a breakout year, but I mean, that can happen. I mean, you look at his stuff, it's unbelievable. And that, you know, that happened to Arrieta. He was just a guy until he got to the Cubs too.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone doubts that he's the real deal.
Watch this. That's real than real deal, Holyfield. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel.
Okay. Boy, that's got to cool. be your hope, though. If you're rooting that the Cardinals can overtake the Cubs, your hope has got to be that some of those pitchers
Oh, I disagree.
Down.
You know what? I think you get a center fielder in there, and you settle in on where Matt Carpenter is going to play, and you get a little relief help, and boom.
Just that, you think.
Boom, Doug.
Okay, boom. I heard you.
Derek Gould joins us right now from Cleveland. Good morning, Derek.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Very fine. We're debating whether or not the Cubs are going to be doing this for a long time. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're set up to do well for a while. I think, you know, they have the young guys throughout their lineup. They have guys who are learning. You know, that's kind of been the point that Chris Bryant and Joe Maddon have made, is that they're here. They may look a little young. They may look a little skittish at times, but they can improve and be back here. And then you look at their pitching, though. I think that's the one question is, you know, Arrieta is going to be a free agent. Lester and Lackey are going to age. So how do they go and supplement their pitching? That's the big question.
What do you think of the way people look at this World Series? You get the sense that in St. Louis, pretty much everyone is a Cleveland Indians fan.
I didn't at the start of this, Kat. I didn't. I think as this series has gone on, I get that stronger feeling. At the start, you know, I mean, we for the podcast that Benjamin Hockman and I do, in addition to the writer's block, there's the plug. We
look forward to that
story. To write us. Yeah, new show. How they're coping with the Cubs' success. And you know, we got a spectrum of answers. You know, fans wrote us about how, they did never, ever, ever, ever wanted to see the Cubs win. Others wrote that they have family members who care about the Cubs and they want to share. You know, they felt such elation when the Cardinals won the championships here recently that they actually kind of want to share that with, you know, friends and family, give them that chance. Others are just so plain tired of the Cubs storyline and that they've gone so long without winning that they should just get it over with and not gnash their teeth about it anymore and not romanticize about it anymore. But I think as Cleveland took that 3-1 lead, it all bent exactly towards, like, I got a lot of emails saying, "Wow, this is even better than most World Series. This is even better than just rooting for Cleveland because the Cubs don't look so good at all." So I don't know. I think as the series has gone on, them hearing more from Cardinal fans who have become Cleveland fans.
I also think part of it is to the Indian story. I mean, they have a roster that's not laden with stars. Everyone kind of felt like on paper it wasn't even going to be a contest, and here the Indians are with a chance to win by taking one game at home.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I enjoyed watching the Indians play this season. I did. When I had a chance to watch them on TV, I did. Caught some of their games, you know, later, like the next day. Would dial them up and watch them. And they are a fun team to watch. It all emanates from Francisco Lindor and Corey Kluber when he's pitching. Those are two very entertaining players. Lindor is one of the best young shortstops that the league has, and Kluber is capable of such sheer brilliance and dominance as a pitcher. It's very entertaining, and I think, you know, you're right. I mean, they can be a charismatic team to root for as well, and maybe that's part of it. That's actually, it's a good point there, Kat, that you know, maybe going into this, Cardinal fans were kind of like, all right, well, get it over with. But as they got to know Cleveland and got to watch them more, they kind of fell for them.
I think there are some Cardinal fans taking some satisfaction in seeing Jason Hayward struggle after he spurned the Cardinals. What do you think's happened to him this year? How could he have fallen off so much?
His swing betrayed him. He went back to a very, you know, bound up, condensed, whippy swing, and, you know, just never really broke free from it. And, you know, he lost a feel for the strike zone, lost the charge that he can put in a ball as a result. A lot of the work that the Cardinals did to help free him up and really tap into the talent that he has and the ability he has, you know, didn't go with him to the Cubs. I mean, I guess that's a good thing for the Cardinals, but it wasn't a good thing for the Cubs or for Jason. And, you know, they've been very clear that he's got to spend this offseason retooling that swing so that he doesn't look like he does now, and that he looks more like he did with the second half of the Cardinals.
You know, as the Cardinals look at their roster and wonder how they're going to upgrade to try to stay as even as they can with the Cubs, they've already talked about upgrading in center field. I get the sense that a Blackman move isn't going to happen. Who do you think ends up in center field for the Cardinals? Do you have any names of you think would likely happen without anyone knowing for certain?
What do you mean by the last part there, without anyone?
I mean, we don't know. I mean, we're asking you to gaze into your crystal ball. We understand that no one knows anything at this point. What kind of center fielder? Because I don't think it's going to be Blackman, because I think they're going to require a lot to get him if they're willing to deal with him or deal him away at all, which I don't think they are.
Right. I mean, that's always the thing with Colorado, and that'll also be the trouble with any other team. I mean, if you look to the west to Arizona or look north to Chicago, I mean, you know, our talent doesn't come cheap anymore. You know, you look at what these guys have commanded. I think that's a fair question, you know, when not just in regards to Blackman, but in regards to some of the other center fielders who are going to be kind of laid out there, whether it's Eaton or Pollock or, you know, you have down in Florida, you know, they're considering what to do with their players and how to look at, you know, the market for a few different guys, according to reports down there in Miami. So, you know, I think that's the price of doing business now. You know, Jason Hayward, for 1 year of Jason Hayward, it cost the Cardinals Shelby Miller and more and Terrell Jenkins. So I think you know the cost of doing business. And it's like a week from now is when some of this is going to kind of coalesce. You got the GM meetings next week in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's sort of been the launch point for some of the recent deals, some of the recent free agents that the Cardinals have done. They've had a whole month here, and actually longer than that, because this search for a possible center fielder really took hold, or at least they did some preliminary work a year ago on it to try to figure out what that mark was. So I think what you're asking, Kat, I think right now, you know, it's true. You kind of have names, and you kind of know what teams would have to be, how you'd have to woo some teams, and other teams would be eager sellers. But next week is when that really starts to take off, and folks really clarify themselves as to what it's going to take, and it's not going to be cheap.
What kind of shape is the Cardinal budget in? Do they have some money to go out and then maybe trade for somebody who's making a ton of money?
Yeah, I mean they're doing fine.
So it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility that they trade a couple of parts for somebody with an outrageous salary?
Yeah, except for those deals don't really happen much now. I mean, those kind of deals are kind of 10, 15 years ago. You don't see every team has money now, so it's not like there's that seller that you can give a low prospect for just if you absorb the salary.
One of the things that the Cardinals said they have to figure out before they move forward is where Matt Carpenter should end up. And my sense is he's going to be at first base. What's your sense?
Right. Yep, first base. And if they can find a way for him not to be hitting leadoff, if they can acquire a leadoff hitter, there has some appeal to that. But as they kind of put together, I guess, the schematic of their lineup, you know, Carpenter at first base is making a lot of sense.
And what do they do with their leading home run hitter, Jed Jerko? Where does he wind up?
Yeah, good question. Sort of in the same role he had this past year when he led the team in home runs. You know, sort of an everyday player without an everyday position.
Yeah, I guess maybe some third base more than anything?
Yeah, second, third. You know, they'll put them around places. I mean, there's enough at-bats for you to find five different guys at regular playing time at all the infield spots. I mean, you can do that. You can split it up so that, you know, that at least, you know, Matt Carpenter is an everyday player, and then Jed Jerko and the three other guys are moving around, or not moving around in position. Jerko's moving around in position, but moving around in starts in the sense, and you can create four everyday players out of three positions.
From what I'm gathering, as the Cardinals look to upgrade their defense from what we saw this season, part of the plan is to get Colton Wong more playing time at second base, and that he'll be a semi-regular there, at least in the early going, because they feel he will hit, and he's defensively the best they have at that position. Is that what you're getting to?
Well, I mean, I get it from in different stages, though. I mean, you know, when it's been described to me that they want to do that, they say they want to do that in spring, and that again puts the onus on, you know, Colton producing. And if he doesn't produce, then he's just back into that part-time kind of fluctuating that he was this season. A lot hinges on him performing, and it's a real question as to how much patience they have, because they haven't shown that in the past, not with the lineup. The front office is a big believer in Colton and thinks if Colton gets the playing time and the regular appearances, he'll take off, that he's a momentum player and that his defense is good enough to legitimize that. But we have seen in each of the previous two seasons a stretch where Colton struggles or the team struggles to score, and he's one of the first guys who vanishes from the lineup. And I mean, I think, you know, in talking with them about, you know, why he didn't get the same run this past season that Grichuk had, I've been told twice that he did. It just happened in spring training, and I'm not quite sure that that's a fair thing to say. You know, they turned a position over to Grichuk for the run, and they benefited, and he benefited from it. And, you know, why they didn't do that with Colton, and when are they going to do that with Colton, I think is still an open question.
Derek Gould with us here covering the World Series tonight, Game 6 in Cleveland. You can hear him, of course, on the Writer's Block here on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS. Derek, thanks for the time, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks. Nice. Thanks, Derek Gould with us here on the Ryan Kelly morning after joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
How great would it be if they could get a center fielder with some speed that they could put at the top of the lineup, a proven offensive commodity that also is good defensively? It solves a lot of their problems. That's like a piece that makes the overall lineup better on a number of fronts.
Yeah, you would think.
Well, get it done, Doug.
To Derek's point there at the end, I think the reason that Wong didn't get that extended look is because Jerko kept hitting home runs. I mean, most of anybody in the National League the second half of the season, and they had nowhere else to put him. Couldn't put him on the bench. So I think that's kind of the reason that's what's blocking Wong, I think, is that Jerko, the numbers he put up just can't be ignored.
No, I believe that they'll do everything they can to get Wong more time. I mean, I agree, if he goes into spring training and is a disaster in the early going, that changes everything. But they look at Wong as a guy who is transformative defensively, which was a big problem for him last year. And they also think he will hit, remains to be seen.
Yeah, well, he's probably going to have to get to it, because this, how many years has he been here now? This would be 3-4 years at
and
least.
And they just gave him a big contract, too. So yeah. I agree. Yeah, he's got to get to it. There's no question about that.
Trying to get on Bovada to see the lines for tonight's games. Does anybody else have an issue getting on Bovada?
I haven't been on there, Tim.
Bovada.lv. Check it out, would you? See if you can get on there. Nurse, Nancy,
all
Tracy.
Right. Bovada.lv.
I'm in there pretty easily.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong? This is how it pops up on my laptop, Plowhawk. You're good? Let me see what you got. That's how it usually looks. I wonder what the hell's going on. Doug, I can't wager. Yeah,
I have it too on my phone.
Yours works?
Yeah. What, did you pay your bill?
Yes.
Maybe you've been foreclosed on.
Let me see if I can get on my phone. So I'm trying. Well, what are the? Can you get the number for tonight? I believe the Cubs are favorites in both games, yet they're the underdog to win the series. Fun facts, no one tell.
Boy, if with my knowledge, if I decided to be a gambler, I'd be wealthy by now.
It would almost not even be fair.
80 million, right?
Sure.
80 million I'd have in the bank. I'd have twice what Pam Dauber has.
This says the Cubs are plus 110.
Wait. Let's see. Wow, you're right. You're right. Doug, what you're looking at it is the Cubs minus 1.5. So that means they would have to win by 2 or more. And then you would get paid 110 on a $100 bet. But the straight up line is the Cubs are minus 150.
Yeah.
Indians plus 135.
Yeah, Doug, you're not a sharp.
Well, I was talking about the minus 1.5.
Right.
You're not as sharp.
No.
You can get the Indians plus 1.5 and minus 130. I would like to see a game 7, but I certainly wouldn't mind seeing it end this evening because that means the Indians will have won.
Awfully lucky that the weather has cooperated as well as it has. Start playing late October and early November in Chicago and Cleveland. That's a coin flip.
I'd like to see the Indians end it tonight. It's not so much about the Cubs. I just kind of like the underdog. The thing that makes me want a game 7 is I never get tired of seeing Matthew McConaughey jump into that pool. I haven't seen that enough.
Okay.
Don't you love that?
I'm not sure I've ever seen that.
Really? Then you're not watching the game because they play it an awful lot.
He's jumping into the pool where?
Backwards. He's standing by a pool and something comes over him.
This is a commercial?
Should I? And he jumps in the pool and it's like driving a car.
Oh.
It's like driving a Lincoln.
Yeah, well, maybe I've tuned that out when it comes on.
Doug, all kinds of things going on television tonight. You, of course, have Game 6 of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, am looking forward to the final 3 of the World Series of Poker tonight.
That's tonight also, is
it? Tonight.
They're Boy, that was poor 3. Scheduling.
Yeah. I don't think they really care, though, because barely anybody's watching anymore. And then also... you have the John Daly 30 for 30. Now, that's odd scheduling to me. That one actually matters. Like the World Series of Poker, I get it. That's for me and like the other 20 people. But
well, they can run that again, can't they?
Yeah, but still you want to maximize first night ratings.
And Blues Rangers.
And then I was getting to this, Blues and Rangers. Blues and Rangers tonight at the Garden. Bud Light presents Blues coverage and our countdown to the Classic on Monday, January 2nd at Busch Stadium. Bud Light, a light body lager with a fresh, clean, and subtle hop aroma, delicate malt sweetness, and crisp finish for ultimate refreshment. It is Bud Light, the sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. 2 tickets to the St. Louis debut of Ice Guardians. Monday, November 7th at the pageant starting at 7 p.m. Special guest Kelly Chase and Brett Hall. Your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Taste.
I won't be able to watch any of it. It's John Vaughn's birthday tonight.
27 bills. Yeah, John we'll Vaughn, happy birthday, out. John Vaughn.
Yeah. We'll go out to dinner, try to find a good
TV. Where you
TV.
Finna go? Where you finna go?
I don't know. It's got to be somewhere with a bunch of TVs.
What'd you get him for his present?
Well, I wouldn't want to spoil the surprise. Yeah, nobody.
So he's listening now?
I don't know.
You give him a whip?
No, well, he's already got a car.
Oh, man, but you get a nice 22.
Yeah.
Keys to a new apartment?
Nice. Boy, that'd be a nice gift. I got him nice 22s.
Do you get
I don't even know what that means.
Do you let the wife get the present and you were just covering that you don't really know what you got him, or do you know?
Pretty much that's the case.
All right.
What's the age breakdown to stop getting presents and dinners for kids?
Well, I'd like to see it come quickly.
Mine stopped at like 12, I think.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, that says a lot about where you are right now. I think you should.
Your parents didn't take you out when you were like teenager?
My 21st birthday, we went out and had, which no, I've been drinking since I was 17, but 21, but that's it.
So, once so
I'm
you,
just curious,
once
when
you
do
turn,
you stop getting your kids' presents?
Let's investigate this. Let's workshop this. So when you're 13... There's no cake. There's no presents. There's no, hey, your favorite meal is spaghetti. We're making you spaghetti for tonight.
No, maybe I exaggerate.
I don't think it ever ends.
There was maybe a cake. I don't remember presents, though.
I don't. Well, and by presents, I mean, you know, a couple of shirts.
Yeah, 13-year-old wants shirts, Doug.
But I mean now, as they get to be adults.
I don't celebrate birthdays now.
Well, most people do. Usually if it's a family member, you go out to eat or something. Give them a little card, a couple of gifts. You don't do that.
No. There's two family members. I don't even know their birthdays.
When is your birthday?
Oh, for crying out loud.
When is your birthday, Iggy?
In July.
July what?
Somewhere toward the end.
Whose birthday don't you know? Your sister's.
Yeah, my sister Vicky, I never remember her birthday. And my sister Kelly, I know what months they are, but I always forget the date. Thank God for Facebook.
Huh. It reminds you.
Oh, we have seven kids, so I just kind of, the ones that are around my birthday I remember, and the other ones I just never, I'm not big on birthdays, so, and they know that. They know that I don't, it's not that I don't love them, they know I just don't care about birthdays, so I forget dates.
Is it because you're another year closer to death?
Well, we're all that.
Think about it.
Yeah, boy, he turned that one on you nicely.
No, I mean, I don't think I have immortality, but I still celebrate birthdays. It's, you know, you kind of look back, take stock, thankful for what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate with loved ones or friends.
I just don't care. It's. I had nothing to do with it.
I want to throw you a birthday soiree.
I was a lucky egg. Could have been any other ones around there that could have.
Right, celebrate your luck. This is your life, and be proud of it and enjoy it.
Think of all the other Iggy eggs that didn't make it all the way up.
There's a lot of Iggy eggs that didn't make it that never got to go to Hedo.
Right.
Tim, am I obligated to buy my future stepson John a birthday present? Thanks. That's from Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
You know what? He's been suspended.
I don't understand what...
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man has been suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time for claiming to be the father of John Vaughn.
That's not what he said.
Injun Joe's Cave... I think that's what he was getting at.
No, he was saying he's going to marry you, and then John would be his stepson.
That's even worse. You know what? The suspension has been trebled.
Well, I mean, you can't treble the suspension just because you didn't understand the material.
Well, yes, I absolutely can. Exactly what I just did. Magic Man. Okay. Did you hear that? The pen going down?
Yeah.
That indicated disgust.
Birthday dinners never stop. Used to be Joe Bacardi's, maybe now Billy G's, since Tim goes there. It's from Craig the CPA.
Of course.
Doug suspect.
Of course. Well, I would hope birthday dinners would never end. I don't really want birthdays either anymore.
We know.
But if someone's going to take me out to eat or something and hand me a... Sure, I'll take it.
I remember also at that buffet in Florida, one of the times, in addition to saying that you were picking up people to go to the ballpark, you said it was your birthday breakfast, even though you weren't staying there.
I don't remember that. I was there basically as a transportation vehicle for some of the seniors. Anyone need a ride to the ballpark? This is what I would say. And sure enough, lots of them would raise their hands. I'll take a ride to the ballpark.
Doug, the wheelhouse is your home for college football on Saturdays and watching the NFL on Sundays. Plus, you can have your parties there. We'll have our holiday party there coming up in about a month. Party is at wheelhousestl.com, and it's always a pony at the wheelhouse. Send your emails in the morning after at insidestl.com. Call in 855-CUB-TALK. Text in 855-CUB-TALK. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS. GFI Digital has you covered. From their office equipment, managed print and network services, plus advanced technology solutions, let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. GFI Digital is your authorized Sharp dealer in St. Louis. Call them at 314-997-6300 or visit them online at gfidigital.com. It's gfidigital.com. Blues hockey discussion. Blues and Rangers this evening at the Garden. And then also, of course, Game 6 of the World Series, the World Series of Poker. Doug likes Johnny Bax. We'll see. Cliff Josephy, his name online was Johnny Bax. I remember playing against him, but of course he was playing 100 games at once, so it wasn't anything special.
Mm.
I didn't even wander to the poker room once this whole time I was in
Las Vegas. Why not?
I don't know. I'm losing my love for the game.
You were showing yourself off at the pool.
Didn't go to the pool either. Played golf three times.
Did you?
Yep. Did you play with your wife?
No, we landed, and she wanted to go to the pool, which was cool. So the dude that we played with on my birthday, he's retired, worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Brilliant guy, as you can imagine.
Yeah, debatable. He could have gone into sports talk radio if he was smart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an astrophysicist.
Yeah. So what?
So we got done playing on Friday. Played horrible. I'm really, my game's in a tailspin, Doug. It's an absolute mess. But anyway, I still enjoy it. Played TPC Las Vegas yesterday before flying back.
Trouble off the tee.
Yes, actually. But anyway, played Friday with the gentleman who worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And I said to him, we were having a little scotch after the round.
Of course.
Before I took my Uber back into the city.
Yeah.
And prepared to dine that evening at my favorite restaurant in the world, which of course is...
Golden Corral.
Kabuto.
Is that one of those Japanese chop houses where they chop food up right in front of you?
Only 12 seats in the whole joint. The fish is as fresh as the day. They do two seatings. That's it. And we saw Antonio Esfandiari there one time. And he said, how do you people from St. Louis know about the best place in Las Vegas that the locals know about? He's the magician. He won $18 million in the World Series of Poker.
Oh, did he?
So, and he's the broadcaster. Pulling
cards out of his sleeve, probably.
Might be. So anyway, I said to him, I said, you know what, Nick, who's great people, shop guy, I said, you're the person to ask this question. Is there life outside of the planet Earth? And he goes, well, in our solar system, it's highly unlikely unless it's an endo something or another, which meant it lives like...
Endocrine, it's a...
Enzyme?
It's an enzyme.
Yeah.
It's a gland.
I'm going to raise.
It's a gland. Endocrine system, mm-hmm. full of glands.
I'm going to raise.
Yeah. Little glands.
It's a glandular nightmare when something goes wrong.
Thank you, Doug.
I'll just take the pot. You don't have to say anything. So, then he said, in our solar system, it's highly likely, unless it's like one of those little tiny creatures. He goes, but take a look at how many stars there are in galaxies. He said, everybody I worked with, and I believe that one of the departments of which he spoke was Planetary Discovery, which is similar to what we're doing with the WW Recap.
Yeah. They're branching out a little farther than we are.
But still, you heard Larry ranking.
Right. We're both in the dark.
Jason Kiffner mm-hmm. as one of the top five countries in the world. Sure. And you kind of go, yeah, this show is just as bright as the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He said, but yes, of course, everybody that I work with thinks that that's the case. The question is... Everybody is so far apart, there's nothing you can do about it, and the odds of them knowing and us knowing, in crossing paths, highly unlikely. And he said the biggest issue is, and I never knew this, did you know this? I found this to be fascinating, that the sun is one of the, as far, there's a ranking, and I can't remember what he described it as, of stars' brightness, and the sun is one of the lowest on the ranking
right.
of brightness, which means that the sweet spot that the Earth is located in as far as distance from the sun, 93 million miles, would have to be a greater distance for most planets because those stars are going to be more powerful. Yeah.
Like the red giants.
For example.
Mm-hmm. If life is as we know it, there could be other life forms that we that are different. I'm not talking about a human with a hand in the middle of their forehead.
Ooh.
Just totally different life forms that we can't even understand at this point.
Right.
Because we're not advanced enough.
Correct.
And somewhere and there could be...
figure out how to travel at the speed of light, we never will see these.
See, people. What's going to happen is at some point someone's going to say you have to go in a black hole and then the text line will light up with things about Doug. I don't want to say that.
But. What?
Well, there's a great app you can download. I use it
to find out if there's life anywhere else.
No, but it's I'm a big fan of astronomy. I know nothing about it. But SkyMap, and at night, obviously in the city, you can't see a ton of them. But you just hold your phone up to the stars, and it tells you what star that is.
Oh, really?
And there was one
that's pretty
this
cool.
weekend. It was I thought it was a plane, but it wasn't going anywhere. I said, well, that's a star. SkyMap. It's Saturn.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of cool.
A friend of mine, Doug, when I was, I think it was sixth grade.
I don't know what grade it was, Tim.
Been fifth. But either way, I think it was one of his uncles or something, and he had a powerful telescope. And we went in his backyard, and I could see Saturn through the telescope, and it was as fascinating as the day. I couldn't believe it.
You see the rings?
Yeah, you could see the rings. Really? It was as fascinating as the day is long.
But that's really our backyard. If you're wondering if there's life out there, I mean, it's infinite how big.
The universe is still expanding. He said, we're going to run into problems if it starts contracting. He goes, it won't be our problem. And it'd probably take another 600 billion years for it to...
Well, we should start planning.
How old is the universe, Doug?
I don't know. 13 Earth billion is about years? 4 billion.
Yeah, then it's 13 billion, he was saying.
I believe the universe officially started when you were born, Tim.
I kind of feel the same
Jim
way.
Jim Hayes has been suspended for thorough eliminating. Jim Hayes, Llewellyn's Pub, 2 days' time.
Tim is great. Right. Tim is so smart.
Yeah, I saw that one, Tim. That's why I chimed in. Yeah.
Hey, Doug, can I see Uranus? It's from the 636.
Didn't see that coming at all.
It's been suspended.
Was it the seventh? Oh, that's hideous the seventh joke. Planet.
2 days' time.
Thanks Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus.
Uranus, thank you. Mm-hmm.
But doesn't Uranus and Neptune, sometimes they are, like, Neptune's closer? Or is that Pluto and Neptune? Like one time, like
no, Pluto's way the hell out there. That doesn't even count sometimes. Every now and then they say, okay, Pluto counts. No, it doesn't count. Okay, we'll put it in. No, it's not a planet. You feel bad for Pluto in that respect.
Do you ever sit out back and look up at the stars above and think to yourself, yep, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Not really too much. Yep. No. Not too much. No.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-mm. I don't really think that much.
Starry, starry night.
Yes.
Bless
Kevin Kovace.
The trees and the daffodil.
2006 American Idol. Kevin Kovace.
That was Don McLean.
No, but Kevin Kovace made it popular.
No, I didn't.
With his
Don
rendition.
McLean made it popular.
The Cat Elysium Storage. Restoration?
Well, Tim, if you need to give your house a little, let's say, sprucing up, Elysium Restoration and Design has the highest quality craftsmen with more than 15 years of experience with bathroom remodels, kitchens, basements, additions, windows, doors, and flooring, and they can do all of this while podcasting like the Dickens. So support the sponsors. They podcast like nobody's business. They do custom builds. Like built-in bookshelves, entertainment centers, or added crown molding. They also do office facelifts and tenant build-outs for commercial sites. Visit erdstl.com or facebook.com/erdstl to see some of their amazing work. Elysium Restoration and Design. Trust is one of the things we build well.
There it is, Elysium Restoration. Great to have them on board as a new sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Your emails are welcome. The Morning After at InsideSTL.com. 2 tickets. The St. Louis debut of Ice Guardians Monday, November 7th at the Pageant. It's starting at 7 p.m. Special guest Kelly Chase and Brett Hull. Tullamore Dew, the official Irish whiskey of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We'll take a break. Come back with more. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.